Blog Talk Radio.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our shirts together, we're polishing up our act. If you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Ain't no stopping us now.
welcome in the fastest 60 minutes of sports on a playoff weekend, divisional round playoffs, National Football League. Yours truly, Vinny Moore, on your wheels once again. All right, without too much ado today, there's been a lot of chatter, a lot of talk about the playoffs, what they mean, if anything, to the true fans. Of course, many of you know, many of you baseball fans know, the Hall of Fame selection committee has had its say for this year. Congratulations to Greg Maddux and Frank Thomas. To largely simply no-brainers, I don't know how anyone could have even thought that that was going to be much of a question. But today is about the NFL. Now, let's quickly recap what happened yesterday and what is on tap. Actually, should be starting right now with Carolina and San Francisco, about 30 seconds into that game, no score at this point. Yesterday, two very, very good football games. If you like defense in the first one, Seattle showed what that dominant defense looks like, taking care of my Saints. I say that sadly because I really was hoping Drew Brees would get a nice deep run, but Seattle's defense is as advertised, as good, shutting the New Orleans high-powered offense down. Seattle takes that one 23-15. A little excitement at the end, though. I mean, again, an onside kick for the Saints recovered, but just not enough time for the Saints to make that comeback a completion. So kudos to Seattle. They move on to face the winner of San Francisco and Carolina. The late game yesterday was not as good in that it was just so one-sided, but the New England Patriots, the NFC, taking care of the Indianapolis Colts 43-22 in what was, well, to say it's not close, I mean, it was a 21-point victory, but let's talk about the run game. LeGarrette Blount was a man amongst boys yesterday. Four touchdowns for LeGarrette Blount, all on the ground. Here's something really, really neat for you. In yesterday's football games, there was no touchdown passes thrown. None. When have you ever seen playoffs in your lifetime right now where there's been a playoff game where there was no touchdown pass? None. Six touchdowns courtesy of the New England Patriots, all on the ground. Two from Stephen Ridley, four from LeGarrette Blount. Okay? We won't even talk about the Indianapolis Colts. Oh, I shouldn't say that. The winning teams, I should say. Not because there was a touchdown pass from Andrew Luck to Brazil in a losing effort for the Indianapolis Colts. But a lot of great football played yesterday nonetheless. Tremendous scenes in Gillette Stadium in New England, tremendous scene in Seattle with the 12th man. That crowd is as advertised. A little bit tenuous late in the game when the Saints kind of found some life late, but certainly that defense, again, as advertised. So today, you've got San Francisco in Carolina. That game is on now, still no score. San Diego and Denver later on this afternoon. That'd be your 4:40 on the East Coast start, 3:40 in Middle Earth, 2:30 in 2:40, if you will, up in the Canadian mountain regions. Nonetheless, great football. And for those of you who aren't football fans, but maybe you're a sports fan, this is something that you'll want to watch. You'll want to see how Peyton Manning does this afternoon. There are a lot of people that are spending a tremendous amount of time just marketing and advertising the fact that could this be Peyton's swan song? In some capacity, here's the greatest regular season quarterback we've seen, modern or even maybe even before that. In the modern era, we always say the Super Bowl era, there has not been a better regular season quarterback that we've seen, and not in my lifetime. You know, I was born in 62, not seen a better regular season quarterback, but he has been horrendous in the playoffs. I think the record was something like 4-11. It's really bad. We'll try to get those numbers for you later. But it's not been good. The one season they won it all against the Bears, my Bears, moment of silence for the 2006 Bears, it was a game that they easily could have lost. You know, if it hadn't been for Rex Grossman, small hands, a bunch of excuses, and Lovie Smith, and that was a big disaster. Anyway, notwithstanding all that, flashback to the days when my Bears lost Super Bowl, the reality is it's a new day. It's 2014, and the playoffs are on. For many people, they call this the greatest weekend in sports. You've got college basketball. You've got NFL football. College football is done. College basketball is in swing. NBA is in swing. And there's all this hot stove talk in Major League Baseball, which is a nice segue. Let's talk about Major League Baseball real quickly. This will not take long, I promise you. Alex Rodriguez gets his sentence reduced to 162 games, which basically means he's done for one whole season. Aren't you tired of this yet? Is anyone out there tired of hearing about Alex Rodriguez? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm on my island by myself. I'm just tired, all right? I know they say he's just a media whore and that he needs to be out in front of everybody, needs to be seen, blah, 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 blah. You look, go away, All right, go away. Baseball has enough challenges in and of itself to maintain its fan base than to have basically a media whore like yourself come and try to steal the spotlight every other day. I know you're in a big market. You wanted to be in New York so you could be seen. You've got tons of money. You live a lavish lifestyle. You've got tremendous responsibilities on your head. Hopefully you're surrounded by great people. But go away. Let the game heal itself. We've come through the steroid era. We've got what we think is certainly a better game overall now in terms of, you know, uses of performance-enhancing drugs. Let's just go forward, all right? There's some tremendous young talent out there on these baseball rosters that we hope to see in the springtime. Let's just move forward. Yeah, the A-Rod story, I'm tired. I really am. I'm tired. Anyway, NFL. Division round playoffs. As if the wild card weekend wasn't enough to get you psyched up with the Indianapolis Colts coming back from a 28-point deficit, the second highest, the second largest deficit to overcome in NFL history. They could not get it done yesterday against just a really, really well-tuned New England Patriots offense. The defense did just enough to slow Andrew Luck down. 43-22, again, that's the final yesterday. Of course, again, Seattle gets it done against New Orleans, 23-15. And on tap right now, and currently going on right now, with about 11 minutes to go in the first quarter, San Francisco and Carolina are scoreless. San Diego and Denver get started in about 3.5 hours, depending on where you are in this world. Okay? All right. So, for those of you who are hip-hop fans, maybe club New Jack fans from days gone by, the song Teddy's Jam was done by a guy, and it was very, very popular back in the clubs back in the day. So now you get this young man whose name is Cam Newton. So naturally, all the those who put it all together would sit back when they hear the young man come out, and they just start singing, Cam, oh, Cam. And it's a lot of fun. It is a tremendous amount of fun. But Cam Newton, is he too big for this stage? Is he too big for what is now going to be his first playoff game at home, thankfully? Yeah, so he won't have to worry too much about fan noise and things of that nature. But it's against a very, very good San Francisco 49er team, which now has Michael Crabtree back and a host of other talents ready to go. So I'm not sure who wins this game. I'd love to see Cam win it just because of the naysayers out there. I love it when the young guys shut the naysayers up. I believe in Cam Newton. I believe in Ron Rivera as his coach. I believe they've got just enough around him with a running game to maybe get this done today. But it will not be easy by any stretch of the imagination. The 49ers boasting Frank Gore, Michael Crabtree, Vernon Davis, Anquan Boldin, and a Harbaugh coach that can get it done. So, and he's been to a Super Bowl as he went last year, even though they lost the Ravens, you know, after that disastrous thing with the lighting at halftime last year during the Super Bowl. In the meantime, it is going to be a fun day. Who comes out of this ahead? I'm going to tell you something right now. We did not do Venn picks because it puts playoffs in. Yeah, that's a little mundane. We noticed our friends over at ESPN did not do Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. We just kind of sat back and just talked about and picked the people, the teams we thought would simply win. It's that simple. So today, I thought I would just share with all my wonderful fans out there who I thought would win today. And I did not think Reese to continue that another one of those great runs and a great story. The reality is the better team won. And as hard as it is for me to say that, that's just a fact. Seattle's a better football team. So the winner of this game, Carolina or San Francisco, will not have it easy against Seattle. They'll have to go to Seattle with a one seed. In that environment, in that noise. Now, here's the thing. Either one of these teams can beat Seattle. Carolina boasts the best defense in the National Football League, by far. Well, I shouldn't say by far. That's unfair. Maybe not by far. Fact is, Seattle's defense looked awfully good yesterday, shutting down Drew Brees. But this is Carolina's defense. Big, physical, imposing often. It's going to be a slobber knocker, as I believe Coach Dick used to always say. It's a slobber knocker of a game. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see how that plays itself out. Then again, the Niners, what, defense ranked number 3 or 4? I mean, not far behind any of them. So while a lot of guys have been hating on this defense wins championships, let's call it for what it is. What you need nowadays to win is a great defense coordinated very, very well and a great quarterback. You don't get this far into the postseason often, I'll qualify it, often, without having a great quarterback. Look at the quarterbacks who are still playing right now. I don't know if I'd put Kaepernick in the great category, but he's certainly on his way. I don't know if I'd put Cam Newton in that category, but after what he did his rookie year and what he's done a rough sophomore year and what he's doing now, yeah, because Cam came into Carolina when it was the worst of times, and he's turned that program, along with his coaches and players, they've turned that thing around, winning 12 games this year. Look at Seattle, Russell Wilson. Is he a great quarterback? He's been great at times. Let's just call it for what it is. And the reality is, Tom Brady on the East Coast, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, great. There's no questioning that. Absolutely great. So, let's take a quick look here. Gentlemen, I hear a commercial in my ear, and I'm not sure why. That was interesting. A Cough Plus commercial. I don't even know what that is. How did that get fed? All right, never mind. Thanks, guys. I don't have a cold, but thanks. Nonetheless, let's run down your headlines real quick. Man City moves to first amid controversy. Okay, we're not talking soccer, right? Yes, yet. DeSean Jackson, this is bad news. His pad is looted for $250,000 and apparently a gun. That is never, ever good. Check out ESPN.com. Check out Wagner's report on the U.S. skating team. Despite falls outside the lines, as a special article on NFLU tackling program, that would be in question. Winnipeg from the NHL fires Noel amid skid. I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe we'll take a look at that. Well, let's run down it and see what else is going on in the world of your favorite sports. Let's do the college game first, because that's been a lot of fun lately. We're starting to hear some buzz about Kansas and some of the other smaller schools that are pressing. How about Iowa State in college basketball? That they are becoming incredibly impressive. Now ninth ranked in the nation. Today's schedule: Louisville and SMU are playing right now. Louisville 12th ranked, the reigning national champion from last year. Later on this evening, Arizona USC. Iowa at Ohio State, San Diego State against the Air Force, 15th-ranked Colorado against Washington, Stanford goes up against 17th-ranked Oregon tonight, the now-ranked 23rd-ranked Illinois Fighting Illini against Northwestern tonight. That'll be a big game for those of us in the Midwest. Let's take a look at your rankings at this point in the world of college basketball. We don't want the scoreboard. We want the rankings. What's that? Am I channeling my inner, probably a pretty bad version of Sean Connery there. I apologize. All right, let's see. I also want to share something with you about, there's a documentary is the best word, Allen Iverson's Younger Days. It's on Netflix right now. It talks about the Allen Iverson trial and how it ripped apart the city of Hampton, Virginia, and ultimately kind of pulled everyone back together. Get a chance, check that out. That's on Netflix for those of you Netflix subscribers. All right. Top 20 in college basketball. Iowa's 12-3 right now. It comes in number 20. 19 is Massachusetts. That would be UMass. A big-time turnaround for that program. Kansas is 18. That's a four-loss program, still ranked in the top 20. Bill Self always finds a way. All right. Number 17 is Oregon. Number 16 is Duke, 11-3. 15 is Colorado, 13-2. Kentucky at 10-3. Kentucky is always going to be something special with all those freshmen every single year. 13, San Diego State. Number 12, of course, Louisville, 13-2, the reigning college basketball champions. Number 11, Oklahoma State, just coming off a loss. Number 10, Florida. Number 9, Iowa State is 13-0. Look for them to continue to push up those rankings. Number 8, Villanova. Number 7, Baylor. Number 6, Wichita State, which is 15-0. Number 5, Michigan State. Number 4, Wisconsin. Number 3, Ohio State. Number 2, Syracuse. And number 1 still, Arizona. The Arizona State, not Arizona State, Arizona is number 1. Our boys from Illinois, 13-2, making a little bit of noise. They've got to learn how to win on the road and in conference. Going to be fun. That is your AP Top 20. Coaches poll, not much different. Top 3 teams all undefeated. Michigan State falls in number 4 in that one, followed by Wisconsin. I guess it's 4-4A. There is no 5 because of such. Wichita State is at 6 at 15-0. Iowa State is at 7 in the coaches poll, and that is a true testament of the arrow pointing up for that particular program. So look for great things out of Iowa State as the college basketball year progresses. To the NBA now. Trying times for the Chicago Bulls, what can I tell you? Let's see. Durant's 33 points helps the Thunder halt the 2-game slide. Knicks stop the 76ers with a 4th straight win. The Knicks are hot. DeRozan and the Raptors put a stop to the Nets streak. Dirk scores 40 as the Mavericks win a game. Trailblazers send the Celtics to the 8th straight loss. The Boston Celtics. Wow, how the mighty have fallen with the big ticket. Ray and Paul Pierce all moving on. My, how that has fallen. Anyway, Indiana sits atop the conference right now on the eastern side at 29-7. Followed, 2.5 games back from Miami, Atlanta 20-17, Toronto 18-17, the Bulls 17-18. You know, and let's talk just briefly about the Bulls in this most recent transaction, moving Lou Alden to Cleveland. Many people thought that this had to happen. I don't know if I was one of them, but you basically signal to your team that the galvanizing force in your squad, and understanding, the star might have been Derrick Rose, but the galvanizing person on that team that kept you in a lot of situations was Lou Alden, and he's now gone. Don't be surprised if the Bulls make some more moves. I would suspect you probably won't see Dunleavy on the squad much more. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a youth move, but I'd definitely call it a change of heart in a challenging environment where winning is the ultimate game. You've got to win. You've got to compete. You're at 17-18. You're barely in the playoff mix as it is, which basically means you're probably one and done in the playoffs in terms of a series, but you won five straight. So 8-2 in the last 10. Are those Bulls? I mean, so go figure. Maybe they just got a soft part of the schedule right now, so it doesn't look as bad on paper as most of us truly think it is. Anyway, are the Bulls going to be relevant? You're 11.5 games back of the two best teams in basketball in Indiana and Miami, so I don't know how relevant that's going to be. All right, I really don't. So let's move on to the Western Conference. San Antonio's 28-8, Portland 28-9. They've cooled off quite a bit, even though they, just recently won the last two. But they were incredibly hot early on in the season. Oklahoma City is 3, the Clippers 4, Golden State 5, Houston 6, Phoenix 7, and the Dallas Mavericks have found a way into the playoff look. Everyone, this is a funny thing, everybody in the Western Conference is over 500. Okay? 4 of the playoff teams in the East are under 500. What's that tell you? Okay. I know you play the game on the court, but the Western Conference certainly looks dominant right now. And that's a Western Conference without any sign of a Los Angeles Lakers squad. Okay, matter of fact, the Lakers are 7.5 games out of the last playoff spot. That's how challenging it's gotten out there for the Los Angeles Lakers. They need some help. And not sure where that's going to come from. Really not sure. But hopefully they get it. Hopefully they find that. All right, let's see. What are we doing? We'll talk some NHL? We could. Oh, just an FYI. Oh, yeah, let me get my personal stuff out of the way now. It's 12:25. 35 left and the right. Let me get this personal stuff out of the way. I had a cause this weekend to get out of here a little bit, get out of the Chicago market, go downstate, see some old stomping grounds. And I've got quite a few friends and quite a few fans downstate, and I appreciate you guys, love you guys, and there's definitely nothing you can do about it. But I got a chance to reach out to some old friends, and I really want to say thank you for still being just real people. All right? It's very seldom do you find people that are still the same after all the years. Now, I'm 51 now, okay, and to see people from my generation born in the mid-60s, we've all got children, some of us have got grandkids now, and to see some real people is absolutely amazing. So kudos to all of you, those of you in Galesburg, Illinois, to the Carl Morrisons of the world, to the whole Morrison family, to the Johnny Davidsons of the world. I love you guys, man, to the Ed Kellys of the world, the Eric Gashes of the world, to the entire Andrews family. You know, I love y'all, man, and I really, truly appreciate y'all. To the fandom that we have going on in the little city of Peoria, Illinois. I love you guys, and there's nothing you can do about it. Stephanie, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being my childhood sweetheart and friend. To my boy Ed down in St. Louis, the Rams are going to be something special next year. And you, as you might can tell, I told the people I would mention this. To my friends up north of the border, I love you guys. There's nothing you can do about it. To those out in Red Deer and Airdrie, and you know who you are, entire families up there that make it do what it do, whether it's in the hair salon business or it's in just tourism. I appreciate you guys so much. To all my friends in Calgary, after spending 21 months up there, I kind of miss you guys, man. It's kind of good to see you guys. Your hockey team's still not that good, but nonetheless, you guys are fantastic, and I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Matter of fact, let's do some NHL. By the way, an update on the NFL. San Francisco leads Carolina now 3-0 with about 4.5 minutes left in the first quarter. So just a field goal for the Niners so far. So we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. Bulls have won 5 straight. Not impressed. Sorry, I'd love to be, but not impressed. Now, for those of you who don't know, some players really have issues with the media, as it's kind of common. And some leagues actually fine players when they don't talk to the media. I forget the player's name, but recently got fined $50,000 for not speaking to the media. And Joakim Noah, for the longest time, has been that guy that would talk about things related to just on-the-court things. But after what's been an emotional, trading session for a lot of NBA teams, he finally has come out and decided to start talking a little bit about the Luol Deng trade. So for those of you who would like to check that out, please feel free to do so. Okay, what am I looking at here? Okay. All right. Oh, this is from ESPNChicago.com. That would be why. I'm looking for the whole NHL, and all I'm seeing is just the Chicago iteration of it. So Edmonton-Chicago, that's tonight. That'll be a fun game as well. Buffalo-Washington gets started at 2 p.m. today. This is your NHL schedule for those of you not sure what's going on. The New York Islanders and Dallas today at 5. New Jersey and Toronto at 6. These are all Eastern Standard Times. Philadelphia at the New York Rangers, that's tonight. Or later on this afternoon, Minnesota, Nashville, later on. I like the way the NHL's kind of done this. They didn't want to kind of steal the thunder so much from the NFL. They didn't want people to have to pick and choose, so they kind of found not-so-saturated times to put their games in, and that was really kind of intelligent. As I think about the grand scheme of what they're trying to do there, yeah, that was really kind of bright. So kudos to you guys for that one. We wanted to look at the NHL standings, guys. We'll have to figure out a way to get there. Here's a concept. How about I just go to the site? Yeah, I can do that. NHL.com. Yeah, there's a story about Noel being fired. Winnipeg relieves coach of duties. Names Maurice as replacement. For those of you hockey heads, let's go to the standings. By the way, I'm a little geeked up because my son, my U.S. military son, purchased me for the holidays an NHL jersey for the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, this wouldn't have been such a big deal, except for those of you who remember 2010, the 2010 champion Blackhawks, that squad had one brother on the squad. His name was Dustin Byfuglien. Now, if you know much about the game and know much about maybe those of us of color who really, really appreciate anyone whose aspirations get them to the highest level of their game, getting a Dustin Byfuglien jersey is not something that was typically commonplace. You'd see all the Jonathan Toews, Sharps, Canes, and the guys in the Blackhawks, you'd see those jerseys all over the place. What you would not see is a Dustin Byfuglien jersey. And it's not that they didn't exist. We just couldn't get them for whatever reason. It wasn't in the market because it wasn't that popular. But he was the guy that always clogged up the middle, blocked the goalie's view, and set up tremendous amounts of scoring opportunities for the Blackhawks in the year they won that cup, the 2010. Anyway, that said, we find this Dustin Byfuglien jersey online, and my son makes sure Dad gets this here. Now, he does buy it a little bit too small, and that's okay, because I gave it to my daughter, and she looks amazing in this thing. And, of course, this is the black Blackhawks jersey. There's a red, a white, and a black, and it looks amazing. And so thank you to Christian Bush out there serving the country as only all of our soldiers can do. I certainly appreciate the dedication and commitment to providing and serving our freedoms that we often take for granted in this country. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being one of the greatest sons any man could ever have. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, to the NHL standings. The Western Conference, as you've come to expect, your Chicago Blackhawks sit atop the Central Division, 47-29-8, 68 points, coming off an overtime loss. This is overtime one. Doesn't say whether it's a loss or not. Anyway, all right, the fact is they're 68 points. They're up by one. The Anaheim Ducks, 73 points, 47-34-8. So in that regard, they would be the one seed, but nonetheless atop their conference as well. So Chicago, St. Louis, Colorado, Minnesota, Anaheim, San Jose, L.A., and Vancouver, all right there. Now, here's your deal. Anaheim is probably the hottest team. Oh, I see now. Anaheim at 34-8 is the 34-8-5 is definitely the hottest team at 73 points. Followed closely by St. Louis, 31-8. Now, they don't have the points the Blackhawks have because, again, they just haven't played enough games. But even in the loss column, two more in the win column, five less overtimes. But I guess that's how their points are kind of set up. They're coming off a loss. 68 points for Chicago, 67 for St. Louis, 61 for Colorado. Anaheim, sitting at 73 points, has been dominant, winning six straight, followed by San Jose, L.A., and then Vancouver. Phoenix, 21-14. Now, this is where I guess I just don't understand. In the Western or the Pacific Conference, as it's called in the NHL, is tough. It is very, very tough. There is a tremendous drop-off between Phoenix at 21-14-9 down to Calgary, 15-24-6. Who've lost three straight. I'm struggling sometimes to understand why Calgary and Edmonton now have perpetually been at the bottom end of the hockey spectrum. Why is that? Has the game gone too fast? Has the game changed dramatically for these guys? Why are two of the most, committed organizations, committed franchises to the game of hockey, to the sport, struggling so mightily? As I scroll up, and I look at the Atlantic and the Metropolitan Division in the Eastern Conference, I see a struggling Ottawa team, even though at 2018 they're probably at the outer edge of the playoffs. Toronto's barely 500, 21-20. I'm not sure I quite understand what's going on and why that is the way it is. And where in the heck is Winnipeg? 19-23, one of the worst teams in the league next to Calgary and Edmonton. Okay, Canadian heads, this is where I'm going to call you out. I don't understand why our Canadian squads are struggling. All right, this is Canada's game. People will break their necks in Calgary to get to a television set, a radio, or get to the Saddle Dome to see a game. I don't understand what's going on with the Canadian teams. Why aren't they doing better? Yeah, I don't know that anyone can just off the top of my head just tell me, well, it's because of X. You know, why is a Boston team so dominant right now in the Atlantic? Why is a Pittsburgh, well, Pittsburgh's been good for several years. Pittsburgh, Washington, Philadelphia, all the top, you know, their divisions, all doing well. Chicago, St. Louis, Colorado, Anaheim, San Jose, Los Angeles. Notice, if I'm reading the top three teams in each division, none of these teams are from Canada. I take that back. Montreal is number three in the Atlantic, 26-15. So there's one bright spot amid what is now becoming a bit of a black eye for Canadian hockey. And yet, when we get to the winter games coming up here pretty quickly, you're going to see a Canadian hockey team that's expected to do really, really well against what isn't going to be an American team that's expected to do really, really well. A Russian team that's always going to be competitive. A Swiss team that should be very, very good this year. So I just don't understand what's going on the pro side of hockey, why our Canadian teams are seemingly struggling, with the exception, again, of Montreal. All right, so that's your NHL love for today. How about that? All right. We should probably pay some bills. Yeah, maybe. No? Yeah, we probably should. 24 left in the ride. Fastest 6 minute sports, yours truly. First 36 went quick, man. San Francisco up 3-0 into the second quarter by now. You want to do it? We can do it. We can do a comedy moment. We can do that. Which one do I do? Let's see. No, we're not censored. But we need to. All right. We'll take a quick comedy break, give you 5 minutes of something fun. Now, I must caveat this. What you may hear is uncensored. Please understand. It is completely uncensored. It is not restricted by FCC regulations. So, take it for what it's worth. Enjoy it. This is our comedy break. We'll come back with some news of the weird and some other fun things right after this.
First, like when that motherfuckers got attacked by that goddamn tiger in the goddamn zoo in San Francisco and shit. and they had it all on CNN like it was a national tragedy and shit. Just, oh, it's so sad. Well, I didn't see nothing sad at all. I laughed the whole goddamn coverage. These wasn't kids. These was grown motherfuckers. I feel like if you a grown motherfucker and you get killed, and you get killed by a tiger, and you get killed by a tiger in a zoo, and you get killed by a tiger in a zoo in San Francisco, I think God's will has been done for your life. I think that's exactly what was supposed to happen, and I think he wanted me to laugh about it a whole lot. That's what I think. Fuck that. I'm a parent. I got kids. I feel like if you raise a child at any age that's dumb enough to climb into a tiger's cage, you should tell them the rest of the goddamn story. Then the tiger eat your asshole out, baby. That's the end. That's what the fuck's supposed to happen. And these motherfucking zookeepers got on TV and started talking shit about the tigers. Started snitching on the tigers like they was disappointed in the tigers and shit. Like, we can't believe they would even do something like that. They've never done anything like that before. And if they're a danger to the community, then we'll have to get rid of them. You going to get rid of the tiger? You going to get rid of the only real motherfucker in the whole goddamn equation? You going to get rid of the tiger? First of all, white people, understand this. If you cannot understand what it's like to be a tiger in a zoo, I don't know how you ever going to understand what it's like to be a nigger in America. If you can't understand what it's like to be a tiger in a zoo. Look at white people. What? Niggas are tigers now? They're great. Follow along, white people. All I'm saying is you got to look at this shit from the tiger's motherfucking viewpoint. First of all, this ain't no fake-ass got it at the mall tiger. This a real goddamn tiger, like the kind that be on National Geographic every time you turn it on the back of a wildebeest ass and shit. Just, wildebeest don't even be dead. I'm not even dead yet. I don't give a fuck, bitch. I'm hungry now. Real fucking tiger. And every day they got this real fucking tiger in a fake-ass habitat. Real fucking tiger, fake-ass habitat. And the tiger not supposed to know as a real tiger that this is a speaker system. And every fucking day, the tiger be fucked up because he be conflicted. Everything in the tiger spirit is telling him, nigga, you a motherfucking monster, nigga. You a beast. You run the jungle, nigga. You supposed to roar and shit's supposed to happen. And every fucking day, the tiger come out and tried and the shit don't work. And some of us know how the fuck that feel to be trying shit and trying shit, trying shit and trying shit, don't work. Trying shit and trying shit, won't work. Trying shit, try, switch it up. Trying shit, won't work. That's how the fuck the tiger feels. Every goddamn day he come out with the roar and shit. Just,
wish me luck, wish me luck.
Roar! You see that bitch take a camera phone picture of me right in the middle of my goddamn roar? You see how they disrespect the tiger? These four tigers don't know what the fuck to do. It'd be four, five real tigers in a fake-ass habitat. What the fuck you think them tigers talk about every goddamn day? Nothing but what the fuck they would do if a motherfucker was to ever climb their goddamn foot over the goddamn gate. That's all the fuck they talk about. Just, I wish a motherfucker would climb in this goddamn cage. This cage right here, nigga. This cage right here, nigga. It's a motherfucking woods. And the tiger be fucked up. Because the tiger feel like he's supposed to be eating elephants and giraffes and shit. And every day they come feed him meat out of a bucket and shit. And all while he eating that bullshit, what he be looking at? Your good fresh meat ass walking around the zoo with a video camera and shit.
Look at that delicious ass fat bitch right there. I eat the shit. That delicious ass fat bitch right there. Fuck that. It's a baby fat right on her motherfucking ass. You know that's my favorite part. I love baby fat.
and the tiger be fucked up because he don't know what to feel. And after a while, he get depressed and down and start acting like us. You know how we get depressed and start doubting shit we shouldn't even doubt. I bet the tigers had got as low as they could possibly get. Just, are you sure I'm a tiger? I don't feel very much like a tiger. Maybe I'm just a vicious-ass koala bear. Did you ever investigate that? But as a real motherfucker, you can't never afford to give up. Because all real motherfuckers is only waiting on one opportunity. And that's the opportunity to show a motherfucker they ain't bullshitting. And I bet them tigers had got as low as they could possibly get. And then something wonderful happened in the tiger world. They just...
Nigga, this is not a drill. Get ready, nigga. They think we bullshitting. Get...
And that is the great Cat Williams. Appreciate that for the comedy break. All right. News of the weird, as only we can do it here. All right. Intro, please. The Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports presents Vinny Moore's News of the Weird. Okay, that is the oddest 16 seconds of radio. It really is. Thanks, guys. All right. Democracy Blues reports, in November, David Wilson, a white conservative candidate from the board of Houston Community College Systems, pulled off an astonishing victory over the African-American incumbent by distributing campaign materials that made him, this being Wilson, appear to be black, and thus the favorite of African-Americans. Wilson's brochure depicting black supporters were all, he later said, copied all of them from the Internet. This dated November 10th of 2013. Democracy Blues. Seriously? All right, for those of you who didn't quite get it, David Wilson, a white conservative candidate for the board of Houston Community College System, pulled off an astonishing victory over the African-American incumbent by distributing campaign materials that made him, Mr. Wilson, appear to be black and thus the favorite of the African-Americans. Wilson's brochures depicting black supporters were all, he later said, copied from the Internet. Oh, do we have to do better? Asleep at the wheel comes to mind. Gosh. I need a co-host to have that discussion. That's crazy. That's too crazy. 619-639-4747. We haven't given the number all show, have we? 619-639-4747. All right. Update on the NFL playoff. The Niners now lead Carolina 6-0. I think it's like two field goals are the difference in the game. A lot of football left to be played in that one. Halfway through the second period. 15 left on the ride. You see that in movies, man. You don't see that in real life. Really? Democracy Blues. Wah, 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 wah. All right, you know what? That deserves another play of the segue. Beginning and end. Here you go. The Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports presents Vinny Moore's News of the Weird. Indeed. All right. Indeed. And that thud can only be those who were not paying attention. So you have the incumbent who is black, the conservative who is white, the conservative ones, and then purports himself to be black and all of his supporters to be black and wins. I know it's only the Houston Community College System, but it doesn't matter, all right? That kind of lack of attentiveness to detail is why guys like George Bush can steal an election. Oh, did I just say that? Can steal an election? Oh, gosh. All right. Thank God this is the Internet and it's not censored by the FCC because that would probably cause a problem. Anyway, so, woo, woo. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. All right. Gave you the update on the NFL, Niners 6-0 over Carolina. That's early in the second quarter. Let me get you a quick update on that. DeSean Jackson, the Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver whose pad was looted for $250,000, and it says courtesy of ESPN, and a gun, is a Let's see what we can get on that. That's kind of scary. His pad was looted. Not quite the perspective I think we were looking for where that's concerned. That's kind of sad and kind of scary. Many players have certainly got their own personal weapons that they keep in the house. But here you go. Philadelphia, Dateline Philadelphia, written by Phil Sheridan. DeSean Jackson's offseason has gotten off to an interesting and unsettling start. A few days after the Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver said he wanted to renegotiate his contract, Jackson's South Philadelphia home was robbed of more than $250,000 in cash and jewelry, along with a handgun, according to police. Investigators said Saturday the burglary happened sometime early in the week at Jackson's home, not far from the team's practice facility. Police say the cash and jewelry were taken from a safe. A silver 9mm handgun is also missing. No arrests have been made, and police spokesmen say the investigation is ongoing. Now, I am one of those kind of guys that has never been a fan of cash. If I've got it in a bank, you know, obviously I've been very fortunate. My bank hasn't, you know, done the whole savings and loan debacle like what's happened so many years ago, but my money's in a bank. I probably don't have a bunch of cash laying around the house. I don't own a gun, but if I did, okay, that's okay. That's scary in and of itself. A silver 9mm handgun, but it's in a safe, and now it's gone along with $250,000 in cash. Unless you're making it rain as a young man out there, why do you need $250,000 in cash in your home in a safe? Maybe you know. Maybe I'm a little too naive. If someone can tell me why you need $250,000 of cash in your home, give me a call at 619-639-4747. And I'll caveat this with this. If you call me, please have a legitimate reason why you would have $250,000 in cash in your home in today's world in 2014. Please, please give me a really, really good reason. I am looking for it right now. I really am. By the way, to all my Shamar Moore fans out there, there are some pictures of your boy all over the internet making him look, well, let's just say for those of you single women out there who love to look at Shamar Moore for more than aesthetic reasons, those pictures are out there online. So by all means, yeah. $250,000 in cash, jewelry, and a handgun. Well, on Wednesday, DeSean Jackson hosted an event at a club in Miami Beach with Oregon running back DeAnthony Thomas, who declared for the NFL draft. 2 days later, Jackson tweeted a photo of himself with a group that included actor, former pro wrestler Dwayne Johnson, and Falcons running back Steven Jackson after shooting new show Ballers. He wrote, Johnson and Mark Wahlberg are shooting a pilot for an HBO series called Ballers in Miami this month, according to a report. So, something else to look forward to, a new show from Wahlberg and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ballers. Okay, also, yeah, Mark Wahlberg's been really, really busy. It is a moment of entertainment news. He's got a I guess, the family show with the Wahlberg. Wahlberg's involving a restaurant coming out pretty soon as well. So, for those of you at HBO or Showtime heads, you know, keep an eye on what's up with Mark Wahlberg. He's staying relevant, staying in the public eye. In the meantime, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is being Dwayne The Rock Johnson, staying low-key. I don't know what they're going to do with Fast and Furious 7 now with the loss of Paul Walker, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out. For those of you who follow Vin Diesel, you can get a lot of good updated information regarding that as well. All right, back to the ride. Nine left to go on this thing. We have had a lot of fun talking about everything in the NFL, talking about everything about the NHL, talking about the world of entertainment as well. I'm left to believe that none of you are too terribly concerned early on about this football game at this point, which is probably a smart perspective. 6-0. I mean, keep in mind, the first time these guys played, what was the final score, 10-9? Defense rued the day, so we shouldn't be surprised that it's only 6-0 at this point, you know, almost halfway through the second quarter right now. So whatever you guys are going to do the rest of the day, please have yourselves an absolutely amazing day. Get yourself some good food. Eat smart. Don't overindulge. Get yourself ready for what should be a great work week, hopefully, for those of you going to the 9-to-5 tomorrow. And if you're not going to 95, if you're one of the millions of folks that are still trying to find your way, you know, let's make some good decisions tomorrow. Be smart, stay positive, stay optimistic, as I know you can do. And whatever you do, don't let somebody get you down, all right? There's a lot of things in this world that will just love to just pull you down all the time. Do yourself a favor, all right? And you can call me Uncle Fuzzy for the next 30 seconds. Listen to Uncle Fuzzy, all right? Do not, and I mean do not let somebody steal your joy or get you down. You're too important to the world at large, all right? We love you. We need you. We want you to be the best iteration that you can be of who you are, as by design by the big man upstairs. Heaven is everything, and look forward to bigger and better things as these days gone by. Now, some of you chimed in. How did Happy Joe's Pizza and Ice Cream wind up on my profile yesterday? Well, it's actually quite simple. As I told you, I needed to kind of get away yesterday, so I drove down to my hometown of Galesburg, Illinois. Woo! Kudos to Galesburg, Illinois. And while down there, I wanted to try this this check-in thing on Facebook. I'd never done it. Actually, I deactivated my Facebook. How many of you know this? Because I was just reading way too much negative, way too much, you know, just inconsiderate, ignorant things that people were posting on Facebook. I just needed a break from it, so I deactivated it for a while. But when you do the check-in thing and you log back in, it of course fires everything back up for you, and it says you want to tell, you know, where you're at, what you're close to. And I was right sitting in front, just off Henderson Street in Galesburg, Happy Joe's. Now, for those of you from Galesburg, Illinois, if you loved Happy Joe's taco pizza, you know what I'm talking about. All right? I should have, if I hadn't already eaten, I should have gone there and just ordered a taco pizza, taken pictures of it, and posted this. This would have been a great idea. I just thought of it now, unfortunately. But nonetheless, when I get back down there, and I will, hopefully before I take my next excursion, I will take pictures of this taco pizza. Happy Joe's in Galesburg, Illinois, makes, for my money, the best taco pizza in the land. And I'll say this for all of you who are in the Peoria area that are fans of Avant's Breads. I love La Gondola, okay? La Gondola's Pizza House and Italian, you know, the Italian Spaghetti Pizza House. I'm sorry, it's not pizza. It's an Italian Spaghetti House. That's what it is. They make the best garlic bread in the world. There's a reason Sharky, and the way he does the recipe, gets all the love he gets. That is the best. All right, that is the shameless plug for La Gondola in Galesburg, Illinois. Need a meal tonight? Spend the $11.95. Go get that spaghetti dinner for your family. It comes with the garlic bread and the spaghetti off the chains. They'll even sell it to you uncooked so you can make your own garlic bread at home. It's already pre-done. All you got to do is put it in your broiler, you know, let it get nice and golden brown, and it is off the chains. Off the chains. There's nothing that I've had in terms of a bread dish that compares that. Now, again, for those of us who are off the bread, right, for dietary reasons, this kind of stinks, but it's still the best bread. It really is. It is the best you will have at any time for any meal. I mean, I've watched my kids cut this stuff up and put, you know, ham and cheeses and lunch meats on it and do what they do and enjoy themselves to know, and that bread is just that doggone good. So my son chimed in once he found out I was in Galesburg, simply asked him to get some loaves of bread and just ship them to him. Again, huge following and huge love for La Gondola there in Galesburg, and also in Peoria and in Kickapoo, Chillicothe, and some of the other local areas around the Midwest. All right. Now, my friends over at Earl's on A Street in Calgary, much love to you guys. I appreciate you. I miss you and hope to see you guys one day soon. Someone asked me, where am I going next on the next excursion? Where's Vincent Moore? Not Vinny Moore. Where's Vincent Moore going to land on his next deal? Well, I don't know. It's a great question. We'll sort those things out hopefully over the next couple of weeks. I know there's love out in the East Coast in Virginia. There's love in Las Vegas, and there's always love in Canada. So love you guys again. There's nothing you can do about it. Thank you so much for being an integral part of who I am and what we do here at the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. Thank you for making this show as popular as it is, 30,193 followers. I mean, I appreciate you guys. Obviously, we want to continue to grow this thing, and you know, who knows? What's next for me? Yeah, you know, someone else maybe takes this thing over, and maybe I wind up on ESPN. Maybe I have to wear a suit every day. I don't know. It could be fun. But, again, just to be in the public eye in any way, shape, or form, or the public voice is always exciting. It's always fun, and I love you guys, and I so, so appreciate you. And unless there's anything else you guys want to holler about, I think I'm done, baby. Oh, you want to do that? Okay, all right, let's do that. We can close out our last 3 minutes. All right. Some people love the comedy. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We went commercial-free today, which is always a good thing. No need for any music at this point. Let's see. 2.5 minutes. Let's go some Martin Lawrence. How about that? We'll do some Martin Lawrence as we wind this thing down. This Fast 6 Minute Sports, back after this.
Because your feet is all fucked up. You got to do 70 behind that shit? Oh, I know he want to kick his own self in the ass. Shit, what else on reality TV? Everybody's looking for love in reality TV. Everybody looking for love. The Bachelor, For the Love of Ray J, Flavor of Love. I said, when I saw Flav had 10 women bidding for his love, I was like, damn. Because I know if Flavor could get 10, I know I can get 20. I love Flavor, damn. And I guess I couldn't do it because I couldn't imagine having that many women in one house all bidding for my love. Because I know they're going to be fighting all that, trying to bid for my love because I get good love. So I know that's going to happen. At least I think I get good love. I got to come on the intercom and shit and calm them down and shit. Ladies, calm that shit down. We almost had an altercation last night. I'm going to ask that you all get along. You all will be getting dicked down at some point.
That is Martin Lawrence, a quick section there. We need to say goodbye to the college football season, so there's only really one way to do that. Much like the whole thing kind of ended, let's give a good farewell to college football as only the teams that were there in the final stages can do. Auburn, Alabama, the end of a mini dynasty, beginning of a new trace.
Mandel, here it was
on the night when Alabama fell.
Returned by Chris Davis. Davis goes left. Davis gets a block. Davis has another block. Chris Davis. No flags. Touchdown. Auburn. An answered prayer.
Indeed, an answered prayer as Auburn shocks the college football world, upsetting Alabama. Anyway, great college season. It wound up with Florida State coming into the national championship game, taking care of its first one in the Jimbo Fisher era for Florida State. Auburn, a great season. Played well, just didn't get it done. But that's going to do it for us. Love you guys. Nothing you can do about it. So we'll see you next time on the Fastest 6 Minutes of Sports. Love you guys. Peace.